In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, please be seated. You're a good bit quieter congregation than the last one I preached this sermon to. 9 o'clock, we were outside with lots of dogs and cats and snakes and birds and really cool creatures, but it was a little louder than you are. And that's just as well. Please forgive my voice. I've picked up a nice big head cold, so I apologize for the way I sound. I just want to start by telling you how proud I am that you're in church. All of you. I'm really proud of your endurance. Because for 5 or 6 weeks, if you've been here every week, you are strong and brave. Because Jesus, every week, we've been rolling through 3 chapters of the Gospel according to Luke, every week, He gives us a new job, and then we go away, and we come back, and He gives us a new job, and we go away, and we come back, He gives us a new job, and they're hard jobs. They're huge. Makes us tired. I mean, what, 6 weeks ago, He said we're not supposed to care about our social status. He made fun of us a little bit by showing us how to get praise, and then said, stop caring about this. Then He told us we can't love God and money. Simple declarative sentence. Then He gave us a little encouragement. He told us, but you're as valuable as the one lost sheep and as the one lost coin. Then He goes right back to giving us work to do. Last week, Lazarus, you have to notice the poor. You have to care about the poor. And it's no wonder His disciples finally say, hey, increase our faith. It makes even more sense if we can back up and grab the 5 verses that have been left out of the lectionary. Got me while they're out, because they really help us understand what's going on. The 5 verses that are not here this morning between the last story and this one are, Jesus says, you must forgive. You must forgive. 7 times in a day if necessary. And He gives us sort of the little cadence of forgiveness. There's a sin, there's a rebuke, there's a repentance, and forgiveness. Sin, rebuke, repentance, forgiveness. Gives us a little cadence. We can even hold on to that, can't we? We could teach it to our kindergarten children. There's a sin, a rebuke, a repentance, and a forgiveness. 7 times in the same day, same sin, you must forgive. He doesn't give us an option. He doesn't give His disciples an option. And then they turn and say, increase our faith. I wonder if this is the first time the disciples actually talked back to Jesus. You know, got mad at Him. I mean, we left everything we had and we followed You. And every single thing You tell us to do is another hard job. And it's none of the things we want to do. When do we get it our way? When do we get to see things happen the way we think they ought to happen? Because frankly, we care about our social status. We would like to be comfortable. And I'm really tired of having to take care of the poor. I wonder if that's what the disciples were thinking. And if you want us to do this stuff, you need to increase our faith. Give me the ability to do this. And Jesus, again, 6th week in a row, excuse me, turns on His heels. It says, faith? Does this have anything to do with your faith? If you had the faith of a mustard seed, you can just imagine, He's standing outside having this conversation. If you had just the faith of a mustard seed, you could tell that mulberry tree right there, put yourself in the sea, and it would obey you. This is not about faith. And then He tells this horrible story. You see, you should have come to 9 o'clock because the mic wasn't working. You couldn't hear it, but you couldn't hear it. But now we heard it. The mics are working, except for that buzz. I'm sorry about that. I don't know what's going on. He says, who of you has a slave? Well, you do your own cultural translation of this. It would take a while to decompress that one. But who of you has someone that works for you who says, and they come in from their day in the field, and you say, oh, you look really tired. Let me cook you some lunch. No, you say, you cook lunch. I'll eat. When I'm finished, you can have what's left. And when you're finished doing everything that I tell you, says Jesus, then you just say, I was just doing my job. It's just my job. That's it. When do we get it our way? Is this ever going to lighten up? I mean, is Jesus ever going to say, I know you want to do it your way, but just do this a little bit longer, and in about 2 weeks you'll get to stop and we'll go back to doing it your way. No. Jesus says the problem is not your faith. Your problem is your obedience. Just do it. Just do your job. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as being obedient. Are you any good at this? I'm not very good at it. See, I'm glad Mom lives in Virginia. You can't ask her, but she would tell you. I'm not very good at doing things just because somebody said, do it. You know, somebody says, do this, and I say, why? And they say, it's none of your business. Just do it. You don't need to know the whole plan. Just do your job. What do we do when we hear that? We chafe, don't we? We recoil. Because we want to do it our way. We want to do it our way. We want to be in control of our own lives. We want to be the ones who finally say, you tell me I've got to forgive somebody 7 times in the same day? Excuse me, let's talk about this. If they commit the same sin 7 times in one day, don't you think they need to talk about that? And figure out what needs to happen? And now what have I done? I've put myself in the role of judge. And Jesus says, that's not your job. Your job is to forgive. Whose job is it to judge? His. It's his job. So we don't like to do what we're told. Why? Partly because we're willful and we want to do it our way. But there's another reason. We've been disappointed, haven't we? Many times in our lives. I mean, generally when a human being looks at you and says, just do what I tell you, they've kind of gone off the rails themselves a little bit, you know. They're mad, they're frustrated, they're having a bad day. Don't talk to me, just do what I tell you. I mean, that's kind of the last sentence out of my mouth as a dad, you know, when I'm done at the end of the day and they're still not wanting to do, just do it. So we've been disappointed. We've seen that be self-serving. We've seen it be oppressive. We've seen it be all these horrible things, and that's absolutely true, but this is Jesus we're talking about. It is not your dad. It is not your mom. It's not anybody else who's ever done anything horrible to you. It's not anybody else who has abused their power. It is Jesus. And so when we're invited to obey Jesus, we bump up against the real issue, which is what? Trust. The question is, do you trust that Jesus will do his job? Do you trust that Jesus knows the heart of the Father? Do you trust that God is taking this world somewhere? And if the answer is yes, then just do your job. You know, we as Episcopalians, we like to think things through. It's one of the things I love about being an Episcopalian, is we like to think. We like to ponder, sort things out. But in this circumstance, once in a while, that's not the answer. This is much more pedestrian. This is not Jesus the philosopher we're listening to. This is Jesus the drill sergeant, the school teacher, the coach, who has a big plan in mind, and in all the moving parts, and simply wants us to do our part. And the job is simple. It doesn't require faith to figure it out. It requires obedience. Don't be so worried about your social status. Don't be so concerned about financial stuff. Care about those who don't have anything. Care about those who have not learned about the love of Jesus. Notice the poor at your gate and forgive those who have sinned against you. And when we do this, step after step after step, we realize what Jesus had in mind all along. Jesus never intended to give you what you want. Jesus wants to change us and to change what we want. He wants to turn us into people who want the kingdom of God, where the yoke is easy and the burden is light. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.